Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. This is the Vitalis program, featuring George Jessel with his famous Vitalis guest stars. All brought to you by Vitalis and the speedy 60-second workout that helped to keep your hair healthy and good-looking. Tonight and every Wednesday night at this hour, Vitalis brings you a program of outstanding American personalities. This evening, George Jessel presents the well-loved comedian of stage, screen, and radio, Bert Lahr. America's number one heart specialist, Miss Beatrice Fairfax. Those gifted players of funny instruments, the Cadoodlers. Jack Funston, who eats light bulbs and razor blades. Bright modern harmonizers, the Stardusters, and Peter Van Steeden and his orchestra. Now we present your master of ceremonies, that young man with millions of friends, America's popular star, George Jessel.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Your applause is very gratifying to me. In fact, this is a gratifying day. People seem to be so happy working and spending money. Of course, with the exception of my relations. But the only fella that I heard complaining is a chap that I met at noon. He said he'd never been so down and out in his life. I said, I can't understand that. He said, you can't be so down and out. I said, the other day I was walking down the street and I saw you sitting at a table at a sidewalk cafe. He said, what sidewalk cafe? I'm dispossessed. I was watching my furniture, that's all. But the sidewalk and cafes here in New York are so lovely. I stepped into one the other day. It's called Café Rue de Saint-Gilles-Donnaire, Arc de Triomphe Napoleon, and it's run by Kelly and Levine. What a place that is. I stopped in there for a moment. There's a fellow standing at the bar, and he ordered a martini cocktail. He looked at it, drank it, ate the olive, then chewed the top of the glass right down to the stem and threw the stem away. The fellow next to him says, I beg your pardon. You always eat the top of the glass off and throw the stem away? First fellow says, yes, I do. What's it got to do with you? Second fellow says, you down fool. The stem is the best part of the whole thing. Well, it was after great research, ladies and gentlemen, that I dug up that story because it leads me to the introduction of our first guest, who truthfully does actually eat glass and steel and other astonishing items at county fairs and theaters. In fact, he will prove it within the next 3 minutes of this interview. Let me introduce to you now a man with a very dangerous vocation, public eater number one, Mr. Jack Funston.
Good evening, Mr. Jessel, and good evening, everybody.
Tell me, Mr. Funston, don't you find eating electric light bulbs dangerous?
No, I always turn the light out first.
I see. Well, I guess with you, it's just a light lunch. Now, what do you like? What do you enjoy for a substantial meal?
I usually start off a performance with a dozen razor blades.
That's sort of to sharpen your appetite, I see. Go on.
Then a few nails, a few more razor blades, and a small helping of tacks to give them that, bitey flavor.
Mm-mm. You certainly must clank when you hiccup. But tell me, doesn't such a meal ever get you in trouble?
Only now and then. For instance, the other day at the World's Fair, I walked into the science building after such a meal and got caught in a huge magnet.
Oh.
It took 10 men to pull me off.
Well, I know how you felt. I've been stuck with a meal, too. But now tell me this. How did you start eating all these metal objects? Was it a special diet to put on weight?
No. It all started at a party when someone brought up the eternal question, what to do with old razor blades? I had that answer, eat them.
Well, of course, but you know the old saying, one man's shave is another man's indigestion. Now, how about glass? Is glass one of your favorite foods?
Yes. Every time I pass a glass house at the World's Fair, I get terribly hungry.
Hmm.
By the way, you wouldn't like to have dinner with me tomorrow night, would you?
No, I got to meet some people. Now, Mr. Funston, seriously, how have you learned to consume metal and glass objects?
By the study.
By studying
what? By studying the whole subject of eating scientifically.
Scientifically.
I discovered that by eating the right things, milk, bread, mm-hmm. and so on, before and after, and by chewing glass and razor blades carefully, it was perfectly safe.
I see. I imagine doorknobs with whipped cream must be delicious. Have you any special big ambition in the eating line?
Yes. Someday, I hope to eat the railroad tracks from here to Hartford.
Oh, by the time you reach Bridgeport, your appetite will be gone. But, Mr. Funston, I know from the way that you've been eyeing this microphone, you're getting hungry, and I'm a little bit worried here.
Yes, to tell the truth, I am hungry.
Is that so? Well, I think that after this incredible conversation, you should prove that you can do one of these things. Will you eat this razor blade for me?
I'd be glad to, Mr. Jessel. I think the radio audience will enjoy the sound this blade makes as I eat it.
All right, put out your tongue. Folks, Mr. Funston is actually eating a genuine crispy, crunchy razor blade with that rich, tangy goodness. That keen flavor that everybody loves, and you can tell, my friends, he's really eating it by the applause of this studio audience.
Thank you, Mr. Jessel, and good evening.
Thank you, Mr. Funston, and may the electric razor never keep you from enjoying a hearty breakfast. Good night, Mr. Funston. Of the fantastic for an excursion into the romantic. The Starduster's, our popular singing group, give you Peg of My Heart.
Peg of my heart, I love you. We'll never part. I love you, dear little girl. Sweet little girl. Sweeter than the rose of Aaron. Are your winning smiles a tearing? Peg of my, peg of my, peg of my, peg of my, peg of my heart. Entrances, come be my own. Come make your home in my heart. Peg of my heart, I love you, we'll never part. Dear little girl, you're from Aaron, and for you, Karen, peg of my heart. Your glances with every sharp enchant a soul. Take your home in my heart. Peg, oh my heart, peg, oh my heart, peg, oh my heart. You're sweeter than the rose of Erin, peg, oh my heart. Your glances with Irish art entrances, let you take a peg at my heart. Make yourself at home in my heart, make your home in my heart, in my heart, in my heart. Peg, oh my heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, now making a tour of this country is one of the wealthiest men in India, the Maharaja of Punjab. We had hoped to bring you the Maharaja, but he held out for too much dough. However, we've succeeded in bringing you the Maharaja's chief parasol holder, Abu Ben Imglick. Now tell us, Abu Ben Imglick, why is it that you must follow the Maharaja all day long holding that big parasol over his head?
His mightiness thinks sun set fire to hair.
Well, he's not far wrong, Abu, but why doesn't he wear his turban in this country?
Turban too hot in summer.
How true. Most of us in this country doff our chapeaus during these hot spells. Tell us, do you like parasol holding?
No. Hard work. Rather be night watchman.
Well, I think you'd better listen to Abu Ben Grawa, who can tell you about our quaint American customs.
Yes, in this country, men everywhere protect their hair from the damaging effects of scorching sun by using Vitalis with the speedy 60-second workout. For we all know the sun bakes out the natural oils that nourish the hair and keep it good-looking. And drenching shower baths and swims wash away oils the sun hasn't baked away. As a result, your hair gets dried out, brittle, lifeless. But here's what to do.
Apply Vitalis to your scalp with a brisk fingertip massage. Take 50 seconds to rub, and you feel an exhilarating tingle as the pure vegetable oils of Vitalis come to the rescue of your oil-depleted scalp. Then take 10 seconds to comb, and your hair lies smoothly in place with a natural, healthy-looking luster.
Men, you want your hair to look attractive and well-groomed this summer, don't you? Well, then start using Vitalis now to keep your hair looking the way your wife, your sweetheart, and you want it to look. It stays smoothly in place with the attractive, well-groomed look that everyone admires. Get a bottle of Vitalis from your druggist tomorrow or even tonight.
Beside me, ladies and gentlemen, are four young men in front of what looks like a musical toy shop. They're the unique novelty group whose more than 100 instruments all come from the 5- and 10-cent store. Think of it. Our Van Steeden spends thousands of dollars and then blames it on the piano tuner. But here they are, Toyland's gift to radio, the Kidoodlers. Now, boys, I'd like to have you give us your famous When the Circus Comes to Town.
When the circus came to town, all the clowns were tumbling down. The tigers roared, the lions looked bored, and the man in back yelled,
peanuts, lemonade, popcorn, cracker, jack of fries in each and every pack.
Well, the monkey got away, grabbed a man by his toupee. The old folks smiled, the kids went wild, and the man in back yelled,
peanuts, lemonade, popcorn, cracker, jack of fries in each and every pack. Lemonade, popcorn, cracker, jack of fries, each and every pack.
Come on, come on, be jolly and gay. There's lots of fun down the great midway.
Hooray!
Yippee!
All right, young fellas, if you feel storm, pick up the hammer, hit the gong. Everybody tries it. Give it a whirl. You might win candy for your girl.
Hey there, mister, I'll try it this time.
All right, Sonny, three tries for a dive. He missed it. Not hard enough.
Boy, I win.
Peanuts, lemonade, popcorn, cracker, jack of fries in each and every pack.
It made us shaky in the knees to see the man on the fine trapeze. Two little monkeys hand in hand dance to the music of a little clown band.
Say, are you healthy? Are you sound? I'll guess you weigh within a pound. If I fail, you win a prize. The Cupid doll with Google Eyes.
Hey, mister, try and guess my weight. I'll fool you with my size. My sweetie pie would think I'm great if I fetched home that prize.
You weigh 143, according to my touch.
No, 150, says the scales. You lose because I ate so much of
peanuts, lemonade, popcorn, cracker, and fries, each and every pack.
When the circus came to town, when the circus came to town.
Gentlemen, it's our privilege to introduce the world's leading counselor on troubles of the heart, a famous newspaper woman who reaches 23 million readers a day with a syndicated column, Advice to the Lovelorn, a writer whose name is known wherever newspapers are read and wherever lonely hearts are aching. Here she is, that sweet consolation to the tear-dimmed eye, Miss Beatrice Fairfax.
Good evening, and thank you, George, for saying such nice things about me. I didn't know you were so much interested in my work.
Oh, Miss Fairfax, nobody needs your advice like I do right now.
Is that so, George? Then you just sit down and write me a letter.
Who can start learning to write at my age? But, Miss Fairfax, you receive thousands of letters a week asking advice on heart problems. Could you give us some idea what seems to be bothering people in love these days?
Well, I recently heard from a young man in Brooklyn who said, "Dear Beatrice Fairfax, I live in a boarding house. I'm in love with the landlady's daughter, but the landlady is in love with me. I never get a board bill, but whenever I go with the daughter, I come home and find my suitcase packed. What should I do?" Signed, Worried.
And what was your advice to this Brooklyn Lothario, Miss Fairfax?
I told him, "Dear Worried, you're in a bad spot. I'd do anything to get out of it. Even to the extent of going to work."
Well, that's a very stern measure. I know how that boy feels. I was a boarder once myself. But, Miss Fairfax, I gather that nowadays there are a few wives who are discontented with their husbands and vice versa. Can you tell me some of the reasons why?
Well, one wife's reason was that her husband spent all his evenings trying to make a date with a glamorous waitress in a beer garden.
Well, I think I can answer that one.
You can? Well, how would you deal with that, George?
Just make him stop drinking beer, that's all.
Maybe that would be possible, but the pet peeve that many wives have against their life partners is that when they go out, their husbands keep staring at all the other women.
Yes, yeah, sometimes it just seems impossible to concentrate. But does your correspondence... What does your correspondence tell you is the pet peeve of the American husband?
Well, according to my letters, the greatest fault of American wives is that they insist on kissing their husbands before they wipe the cold cream off their faces.
Oh, well, I can see that. It's the unmarried folks, I guess, who really have troubles, eh, Miss Fairfax?
You're quite right. I just heard from a girl whose fiancé presented her with an engagement ring, which she had borrowed from another girl.
Oh, my.
The other girl wanted it back, though there was plenty of big trouble.
Well, I can imagine. I gave a girl a ring once, and so many of her friends recognized it, just killed the whole thing. That's what I mean.
George, I can hardly believe that about you. I just don't think you're that kind of a fellow.
Well, thank you, Miss Fairfax. That's very sweet of you. Unfortunately, you're alone in your thoughts. Now, what we want to know is something about you, something about you yourself. We know that as an acknowledged leader of newspaper hard counselors, you first broke into print quite a while ago. Now, just when was it?
I started writing my column, almost 40 years ago, and I've still got the same old house, the same old husband, and most of the same old clothes.
We certainly have something in common after all, Miss Fairfax. I still got the same jokes, really.
George, I think you need some encouragement. Why, just consider the case of the young man who wrote me the other day and told me he was in love with two girls.
Hmm.
One rich, one poor. And he couldn't figure out which one to marry. What would you think he should do?
I think you ought to marry the poor girl.
I knew you'd say that. It's just your sentimental reaction, George.
And he can send the other girl's address to me. I knew I'd say that.
Oh, George, I really believe you are lonesome. You know, the other day a girl wrote me a letter and said she'd like to meet a nice young man. Of course, I never give any introductions. But maybe we should make an exception in this case because she seemed to be so lonesome, just like you.
Well, that's fine, Miss Fairfax. What does this girl look like?
Well, she sent me her picture, and George, here it is.
Uh-huh. Oh, no, I'm not that lonesome. Thank you so much, Miss Fairfax. Before the show tonight, my telephone rang and a voice said, Mr. Jessel, do you have the Stardusters on your show? Indeed we have, said I. Well then, said he, would you be so kind as to have them sing by jingo? Yes, indeed, said I. Thank you, said he. And here it is now by jingo. Now go ahead now.
In the land of San Domingo, lived a girl called Oh By Jingo. Da, 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 bah, 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 bah. From the fields and from the marshes, came the old and young by gashes. They spoke with a different lingo, but they all loved Oh By Jingo. And every night they sang in the pale moonlight, Oh By Gee, By Gosh, By Gum, By Joe. Oh By Jingo, don't ever go. We will build for you a hut. You will be our favorite nut. We'll have a lot of little Oh By Gollies, and we'll put them in the follies. By Jingo said, by gosh, by gee, by Jiminy, please don't bother me. So they all went away swinging. Oh, by gee, by gosh, by gum, by Joe, by Jingo. By gee, you're the only girl for me. By Jingo said, by gosh, by gee, by Jingo said, by gee, by gosh, by gum, by Joe, Jiminy Chief, please don't bother me. So they all went away singing by Jingo. Ah, you're the girl for me, the girl for me, the girl for me, the girl for me. You're the girl for me.
Before coming on our program, Miss Beatrice Fairfax handed over to me a letter which she thought we were in much better position to answer than she. Here's the letter.
Dear Beatrice Fairfax, I'm going with a young man who's the essence of politeness except for one thing. He steadfastly refuses to remove his hat when we're introduced to people. Just tips the brim and lets it go at that. He won't listen to me, but how can I get him to change? Sincerely, J.B. P.S. His hair's getting thin. Could that have anything to do with it?
Well, what do you think, Ben? Could it?
Why, yes, George, of course. That's the reason. Now, that young man and every man who's losing his hair should know about Vitalis. Because Vitalis and the speedy 60-second workout helps you keep the hair you still have. Listen to what happens when you give your hair and scalp this brisk fingertip massage with Vitalis.
You loosen up your tight, dry scalp and give your hair a chance. You wake up sluggish circulation, bringing nourishment to your hair. You rout unsightly loose dandruff. And most important of all, you help prevent excessive falling hair.
So men, if you find hairs in your comb in the morning, do something about it immediately.
Start now to use Vitalis in the speedy 60-second workout that helps the health of your hair and also keeps it well-groomed, looking just the way your wife or your best girl likes it. Get a bottle of Vitalis from any drugstore tomorrow or even tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have as our guest this evening a great favorite. Star of such musical comedy hits as Flying High, Life Begins at 8:40, The Show Is On, and he just completed the important role of the Cowardly Lion in the $3 million movie, The Wizard of Oz. Here he is, Hollywood's new oomph boy, Burt Lahr.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everyone, and thank you, dear boy, for that charming intro. While you didn't do me justice, I shan't complain. I dare say one must expect such things when one associates with buffoons.
Buffoons, that's so. Well, Bert, where'd you get that new accent?
I just finished an English breakfast.
An English breakfast? What's that?
A bottle of scotch, a steak, and a bulldog.
Who's a bulldog for?
To eat the steak.
Oh, you know, Bert, gosh, your whole character's changed. Since when have you become a Hollywood Englishman with a red monocle in your eye?
Pictures, dear boy, since I've been in the cinema.
Since you've been in what?
The cinema.
The cinema. Eat a razor blade. The cinema. Who have you been acting with, Bert? Fish?
No, with Bart Marshall, Sir Cedric Hardwick, C. Aubrey Smith, and George Orwell's. Lovely kids.
Oh, yeah. You mean to tell me that you've been playing English drawing room drama?
Nah, a lion in The Wizard of Oz.
Well, I guess it was a British lion. Now, tell me, Bert, did you like playing that animal part?
Well, I did and I didn't, George. You know Hollywood. I'm afraid I'm going to get tight. And I'd hate to get stuck playing a porcupine.
Well, sure. Well, what kind of a character would you like to play, Bert?
Well, George, I sort of silly.
Well, you can tell me.
By looking at me, you wouldn't...
Well, what is it? What's the matter?
I want to be a lover.
You mean like Bob Donut and all those handsome Englishmen?
Yeah, well, sure, why not? I used to be a wrestler. I know all the holes.
Oh. Well, tell me something.
All I need is a new upper plate and a toupee.
What? Can you kiss now? Can you do that?
Can I? Say, I give lessons. Listen. Oh, you're wonderful. Oh, you're beautiful. Why? Oh, you're...
Yeah, all right, Bert. Come around next week. We need a fella to imitate a vacuum cleaner. Now, let's get down to earth, Bertie. I've known you a long time. This isn't Hollywood, kid. This is New York. Broadway. Georgie Cohn. Put your monocle back in your trunk. I can remember you, and I go back with you. Remember you in a burlesque show, The Roseland Girls.
Well...
It's a long time ago, kid.
Yeah. But I was just a little kid then, a little kid.
Well, what do you think I was?
Weren't you the manager?
No, I wasn't. I want to take the opportunity of telling you now how much I've enjoyed your swell performances on the stage and in pictures. But, of course, you know me. I'm a very peculiar fella.
You're telling me? I read the papers.
But of all your famous stunts, I'll bet there isn't one more closely associated with you than that burlesque on long hair parlor baritones, the woodchopper song. You remember? Folks, this studio can be cleared in 3 minutes. But I want you to do it, Bert. And if there are any long hair parlor baritones listening, Mr. Lahr asked me to say that he does mean you.
At the dawn, dawns on the morn, the morns on the lawns on the corns on the cob, all's right with the world, all's la-la-la-la, right with the world. Now a good man's life is a life for me, with an all-wool shirt neath an all-wood tree. For the world is mine, where I stand with a song in my soul, and an in my heart.
Wake up and
and I chop, and I chop, till the sun comes up. And with every stroke, the welcomes ring when my truest friend, my axe I swing. What care I if the stock should drop? Long as I can chop, 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 chop. Field and stream I walk along. With honest toil I earn my wage. With honest breath I fill my song. And a day can save slaves. Bones are made by fools like me. But only a baritone can chop a tree. Only a baritone, very, very baritone, can sing while the tall trees flop. So let me chop, 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 chop. Heat swing, heat swing, heat swing, heat swing. There's no stopping, near shalliopping, when we're chopping a tree, when we're chopping a tree.
What do we chop when we chop a tree? A thousand things that you daily see. The baby's crib, the poet's chair, the soapbox down at Union Square, a bat for dad, a gat for brother, a rolling pin for dear old mother, pickets for the fence, buckets for the well, holes for American tell and tell, handles for the fuller brush, doors to slam in the salesman's mosh, schoolroom seats, all shapes and classes, for little loves and little losses, seesaws so you can saw and see. That's what we chop when we chop a tree. Oh, I chop, and I chop, and I chop, till the sun comes up. Heave, swing, heave, swing, heave, swing, heave, swing. There's no stopping me or shall him when we'll chop him.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you'll be with us again next Wednesday night, same time, same station, when Vitalis makes possible more of these informal visits with America's most interesting people. People you'd like to meet in your own home. For instance, the new P.T. Barnum, Billy Rose. And Anita Loose, lovely author of Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. Hoagy Carmichael, famous composer of popular song hits. And the Stardusters and Peter Van Steeden and his orchestra. And me, well, I'll have a few whimsical words to waft the woes of a weary world away, I hope. And so, my friends, we've been glad to have had you with us. And until next Wednesday, this is Georgie Jessel saying good night.
Listen to the important health announcement that follows immediately.
It's a hit, ladies and gentlemen. It's a hit.
And so is the new DD, meaning Double Duty Toothbrush, that helps make your gums firmer, your teeth brighter, and so your smile more sparkling. It's the toothbrush developed by the makers of Ipana toothpaste with the help of over 1,000 prominent dentists.
Tell me, what's so different about the new DD toothbrush?
It has a twist in the handle.
A twist in the handle? Well, what does that do?
Well, with an ordinary toothbrush, you naturally tend to brush your teeth crosswise, which is wrong. You can't clean in between your teeth that way, and you may injure your gums. But listen to what happens when you use the new DD toothbrush.
It's unique. Twist in the handle enables you to almost automatically brush your teeth with the correct up and down motion that cleans all exposed surfaces, even in between your teeth.
But that's not all. Because of that exclusive twist in the handle, you can almost automatically massage your gums correctly as you brush your teeth. In fact, the DD toothbrush performs this important function so efficiently, one dentist wrote us that what he likes best about the DD is
it helps promote the correct massage of the gums.
So if you want healthier gums, sounder teeth, a more attractive smile. Do as thousands are doing all over the country right now. Change to the new DD, meaning Double Duty Toothbrush. Get one from your druggist tomorrow.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.